Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is January the 1st, 2022. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, and hope everybody is safe. And today we're going to have a conversation. We're going to reflect a little bit on 2021, the goods, the bad, and the ugly, but looking forward to 2022. And I tell you, it's amazing. You know, when I think about it, I thought the 19s were something, you know, 1970, 1980, 1990. I remember house parties. To the 80s, to the 80s, to the 80s. We're looking forward to the 80s. To the 90s, to the 90s. Then we got to 2000. This is 2022. This is a new year. Just open up the mic to one of the best co-host in the world, the one and only, the lady of the house. Happy New Year's, Janet.
Thank you. Happy New Year's to you. And to one of the best hosts on the network.
Well, thank you.
Happy New Year.
Some may disagree, but, you know, I'll take that, though. Thank you very much. Wow, we've been here. Well, we've been doing independently for a full year. This is our 75th episode, I believe. 75th episode as a TMGS independently. But as you well know, Janet, we've been doing this for, what, 5-6 years now? So
It's been a blessing.
It does. You know, time goes by so fast.
Certainly does.
Yeah. Time really goes by fast. And as we were saying, we're going to discuss a few topics today. Of course, we're going to reflect on 2021, the good, bad, and ugly. I already said that. But then we're going to look at 2022. I'm really interested in, you know how you always have those New Year's resolutions every year? And I thought the other night, I said, you know, right before COVID, everybody was so, you know, optimistic about the following year. But COVID put a damper in it like nothing ever seen.
Right.
And now that we've gone through the COVID-19, now here we got the new virus. It seemed like it's an ongoing situation. What new resolutions are people, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you got this scare out here. And as you well know, here in Georgia, by the way, for the listeners, it's the numbers are going up. They're actually going up. And now a mask is a new norm. There are some people who don't wear them still. The mask is the new norm. People, I still see folks wearing gloves. You know, folks are still keeping 6 feet away. You know, it's just a different world. And as we go into 2022, what's going to be different about it? What can be different about it?
Right.
Are we going to, you know, take the I guess, in a way, the things that 2021 left us with, are we going to drag them into the new year? And, of course, people don't want to do that, but some things you can't help.
Right.
They're going to fight you anyway.
It's sort of like last year, we were like, oh, we got the vaccine, it's going to be over, and then here comes Delta. And right after Delta is Omicron. It's next. I think it's here to stay, just like when the flu came on the scene, and we're still getting flu shots every year. I think it's going to be the same with Delta. I mean, with COVID.
Right. Yeah. It's you know, I mean, it's just dealing with the unknown, trying to deal with the unknown. And as I said before, you know, you got all these, you got Dr. Fauci, you got a lot of them who are infectious disease experts, but they've never had anything like this of this magnitude to deal with. So it's just, I don't know, it's just something we have to, you know, realize.
Right. If we didn't have so much resistance from the ones who think that it's harmful to put that in their body, I think we would have been in a better situation when it came to people being in the hospitals, and we probably could have almost stamped it out, you know? But as long as we have people who are still resistant, it's going to be around. You know, look at the sports. A lot of the players don't want to get shots, and now they're talking about about the Super Bowl. That a lot of people are on the bench because they're sick.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, and I have a lot of friends of mine who, you know, I love them dearly, and they won't take the shot. They refuse to take it. And, you know, I mean, to each his own. And a way I can understand the fear of things, of taking the shot, and then I can understand, you know, why maybe you should take the shot. You know, no medicine, not every medicine is good for everybody. I mean, we all know that. I mean, there's some people who can't take penicillin. They have to take biosimilar. They're allergic to certain things. I get it, you know. But when you're looking at this virus and then the way it keeps evolving and changing, you know, that's the scary part to me.
Also, the scary part is the alternatives that people are turning to. It's really ridiculous. Some of the things, you know, like dirt or, you know, whenever someone says on Facebook or, you know, everybody jump on the bandwagon and they're doing it. But all they got to do is just get the shots. You know, and I know that the booster, not well, I felt the booster. I was aching all over, but it was only for one day, you know. Mm-hmm. And if I have to get another booster, I will get another booster, whatever it takes.
Okay. Bottom line, you're still here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, unfortunately, there are some folks who after them getting the shot, still pass. But, you know, I can't say that it was due to the shot that killed him. You know, I haven't heard anything of where it was the shot that did it, you know. Otherwise, you probably would have heard of more people dying than
a lot of people had pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm. Right, that is true. So let's take a look at the topics for today, because we got many of them that we're going to go over. And unfortunately, I want to start off with the passing of people right at the end of the year. And I want to get that out the way first, because it's something where, I mean, I know people die every day of, you know, natural causes or by accidents or a number of things. But people who've been in the public eye, unfortunately, have passed right at this time of year. And it has to be really difficult. I'm sure losing a loved one is difficult no matter when it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. All of us know that, you know, of losing a loved one. It doesn't matter what time of year. But I think that it is particularly more difficult around the holiday season. You know, that's my feeling. You know, I remember when my dad was ill and Christmas, around Christmas a couple of years before he passed, he had to go to the hospital. And thank God he was able to recover at that time. But I think that would have devastated me more to lose around the holiday simply because it's the time of year you want to be with family. You know, I mean, it's just that whole spirit. Even if you are a Scrooge, even there's many of folks who are a Scrooge, but still and again, it sometimes can get to them of being a little bit more kinder to people. But Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid passed away, and I'm going to open up this article real quick, and let's see as it opens. It's interesting that, and I don't know why my phone is... I just got this phone. How come I'm doing this? Okay. Former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid died Tuesday after a four-year... This was December the 29th, by the way, and this article comes from CBS News. Former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid died Tuesday after a four-year battle with pancreatic cancer, so he had a pre-existing condition, of course. The 82-year-old Democrat was known as one of the toughest dealmakers in Congress for more than three decades. CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett takes a look at his legacy. Now, it's a long video, which I'm not going to play on the air. It's a long video I'm not going to play on the air because it would not come over through my phone right here. But share, Janet, what you know about Mr. Reid and his background and what he did for the Democratic Party, as much as you know.
Well, I know I followed him ever since I knew of Harry Reid, because he was a deal maker and he got a lot of things done, and he didn't take any crap off of people, but he was quiet. You know, you would never think somebody, he looked like a little small weasel of a person, but he wasn't. He was very powerful. And he kept the party like the Republicans are in lockstep, the Democrats were in lockstep when he was in office. We didn't have this, what we have now, with Manchin and Sinema holding everything hostage, you know, so... He just did a lot, and they said he was real quiet. He said he never said goodbye to people. He would just hang up on you, you know. But if he saw something in you that was worth investing in, he invested in you. Just like when he realized that Barack Obama, a new senator, came on the scene, he decided with Schumer that they needed to talk to him about running for presidency. And that's how it all got started. You know, so if it hadn't been for him, Barack probably never even thought about running for president.
Interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. I want to jump to another individual who was lost. And keep in mind, these are people that we lost just before the new year. Harry Reid died on the 29th. NFL Hall of Fame coach, broadcasting icon, John Madden dies at 85. And this article comes from ESPN. And it says, John Madden, the Hall of Fame coach turned broadcaster, whose exuberant calls combined with simple explanations provided a weekly soundtrack to NFL games for three decades, died Tuesday morning, the NFL said. He was 85. The league said he died unexpectedly and did not detail a cause. Madden gained fame in a decade-long stint as the coach of the renegade Oakland Raiders, making it to seven AFC title games and winning the Super Bowl following the 1976 season. He compiled a 103-32-7 regular season record. That's a hell of a feat. And his .759 winning percentage is the best among NFL coaches with more than 100 games. Quote, few individuals meant as much to the growth and popularity of professional football as Coach Madden, whose impact on the game, both on and off the field, was immeasurable, the Raiders said in a statement hours before team owner Mark Davis lit the Al Davis torch in honor of Madden, the first person to ever light the torch on October 16, 2011. Quote, tonight I light the torch in honor of and tribute to John Madden. It was Madden's work after retiring from coaching at age 42 that made him truly a household name. He educated the football nation with his use of the telestrator on broadcast, entertained millions with his interjections of boom and doink throughout games, was an omnipresent pitchman selling restaurants, hardware, stores, and beer, and became the face of Madden NFL football, one of the most successful sports video games of all time. You know, and I want to read a little bit more, but I've been a Raider fan ever since I was a kid. And granted, I grew up in Los Angeles, right, in California. They were Oakland, okay, they were up the coast. I wasn't a Rams fan, okay. My godfather was a Rams fan. He had a man cave before man caves became popular. I mean, you'd go into his den and all you saw was Rams, you know, the banners, the flags, the jerseys. And took me to some Rams games. But I was always a Raiders fan. And I have to say that John Madden was one of the main reasons why I led the Raiders so much, because of his personality on the sidelines. Never did I imagine he would become an announcer that, as they said, would just be so entertaining. And a lot of times, not just to watch the games, but to hear him illustrate what was going on the field was so entertaining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, I can't think of any other announcer. I have to say, okay, the only other announcer I thought was fun to listen to and laugh at was Howard Cosell. There he goes down the field. He's running. It looks like he can go all the way. You know, that was entertaining. But John Madden was his. And see, the blocker, he doesn't see him. The quarterback, you don't see him coming from the left side. He comes from the left side. Marino don't see him, and boom, he hits him, and he fumbles the ball, first down. You know?
Yeah.
It was entertaining just to hear him announce the games. It could be a blowout, but you still listen because it was John Madden. And, again, unfortunately, they don't know the cause of death. They said it was definitely unexpected. Now, here's another thing. I read an article about the Madden NFL game. And here I want to read a little bit more, and then we're going to move on to another loss, unfortunately, we have of a great lady. Here it says, Madden was the preeminent television sports analyst for most of his three decades calling games, winning an unprecedented 16 Emmy Awards for outstanding sports analysis personality and covering 11 Super Bowls for four networks from 1979 to 2009. Quote, people always ask, are you a coach or a broadcaster or a video game guy? Madden said when was elected to the Pro Bowl Hall of Fame in 2006. His response was, I'm a coach, always been a coach. It was a sentiment echoed by Hall of Fame President Jim Porter in his statement Tuesday. Let's see. Madden started his broadcasting career at CBS after leaving coaching in great part because of his fear of flying, which I was aware of that. A lot of people probably didn't know that. He and Pat Summerall became the network's top announcing duo. Madden then helped give Fox credibility as a major network when he moved there in 1994. That's interesting. Fox wasn't really in competition, I guess, with CBS and NBC. And he went on to call primetime games at ABC and NBC before retiring after the Pittsburgh Steelers' thrilling 27-23 win over the Arizona Cardinals and the 2009 Super Bowl. Let's see. Barely and little unkept, Madden earned a place in America's heart with a likable, unpretentious style that was refreshing in a sports world of spiraling salaries and prima donna stars. That's true. He rode from game to game in his own bus because he was claustrophobic and had stopped flying. For a time, Madden gave out a turducken, a chicken stuffed inside of a duck, stuffed inside of a turkey, to the outstanding player in the Thanksgiving game that he called. Well, that's John Madden. As Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said, I am not aware of anyone who has made a more meaningful impact on the National Football League than John Madden, and I know of no one who loved the game more. When Madden retired from the broadcast booth, leaving NBC's Sunday Night Football, colleagues universally praised his passion for the sport, his preparation, and his ability to explain an often complicated game in down-to-earth terms. Al Michaels, Madden's broadcast partner for 7 years on ABC and NBC, said working with him was like hitting the lottery. He was so much more than just football. A keen observer of everything in him, and a man who could carry on a smart conversation without hundreds and hundreds of topics. The term Renaissance man is tossed around a little too loosely these days, but John was as close as you can come. It goes into telling you a lot about, you know, where he was born and raised, which I'll say that he was raised in Daly City, California, and he played on both the offensive and defensive line for Cal Poly in 1957 and 1958 and earned his bachelor's and master's degree from school. But what I found interesting, too, is the game, the video game, Madden NFL. That game, there was an article I read that really was interesting, the fact that the creator of the game came to him with the idea and wanted him to, and they interject his voice, to the game. And initially the creator said, well, it's going to be a 7-man team, and everything. And John Madden laughed and said, if you don't have 11 players on both sides of the ball, that's not real football. And it's interesting when he said that because I believe there were, before the EA Sports video games and the PlayStation type games, all that type of stuff, when you had the early versions of Nintendo and everything, they did have a football thing where it was like 6-7 guys on the field. That's not a football team.
That's right. No, right.
And the creator had to go back and start over again And I believe the article said that it was like maybe a few years down the road before they got it right. John Madden had his hands on everything that had to do with those games. He wanted to be as realistic and true of what,
and it was,
you know, and it was, yeah. And you look at, there was even part of the article where they said, hey, look, the referees are standing too close to the players. That's not realistic. They're not standing right next to the player. They're a little distance and everything. Just, he went by detail. And I found that an interesting thing of how he took that so serious. They even mentioned how when the executives from EA Sports would meet with him and he would, you know, cut a person off when they were trying to explain something, be like, and so tell me, how does that work? And the person was like, well, it, no, tell me, how does that work? It was like, it makes no sense, you know. You can't fool the public and try to sell this product. You got to make it realistic. And that was the thing that the individual in the article was saying, and I'm sorry, I can't pull it up right now. I'm trying to find it, but is that
And I think that was the first game that I'm aware of that was really realistic, that looked like a real football game, you know, but mm-hmm. you were in it, you know, playing, you know, because I played Madden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very realistic. It wasn't, and he was so much. Now, think about the millions of dollars, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
That game made the millions of dollars that they made over the years. John Madden 2000, John Madden 2001, 2002, 2000, I mean, on and on. And I don't say this to sound, you know, a certain way, but I'm sure that his state or whatever, you know, his family don't have to worry about anything. I'm sure that. Because I do believe that that name or him is going to be football lore forever. There's just no way. They talk about Joe Namath and, you know, other players and stuff. John Madden not being a professional player per se, but being such the coach he was and the announcer he was, I think will just be more memorable. You know what I mean? Young kids know who John Madden is because they play the game. They probably never saw him coach. I'm pretty sure they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But they know who he was as far as the game and as far as the video.
He got hurt early on, right? That's why he wasn't playing anymore. And then they said he became, I think, the youngest coach out there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing. It's such a, you know, when I heard that last Tuesday, I was like, oh, wow. You know, especially because they still don't know the cause of death. Such a great guy, you know, great individual. I want to move forward to another topic, and I know we're running fast on these, but wow. This woman, I mean, I look at it where she outlived a lot of stars in Hollywood.
Amen, yes.
Her husbands, her co-stars, she outlived them all. And it just seemed like, you know, she was just going to go ride into the sunset and just, you know, live her life. No, not Betty White. Betty White became such a popular spokesperson. I love that Snickers commercial she was in. That was so cool to have someone like her do that. And just when you would see her, you know, on talk shows and everything, and her longevity that she's been in the business. But here the article reads that Betty White, beloved and trailblazing actress, dies at 99, 1 year from being 100.
No, a couple of in January she was going to be 100.
She was going to be 100, right? Yeah. According to the article, this comes from CNN, Betty White, the self-described lucky old broad, was sweetly sarcastic senior citizen characters with a beloved fixture on TV shows and movies such as The Golden Girls, Boston Legal, and Hot and Cleaning, died Friday. Her agent and close friend Jeff Witches told People magazine in a statement. At 99, and yeah, here it is, she was just weeks away from celebrating her 100th birthday on January 17th. So even though she was about to be 100, I thought she would live forever. I will miss her terribly, and so will the animal world that she loved so much. I don't think Betty ever feared passing because she always wanted to be with her most beloved husband, Alan Ludden. I'm going to stop there. Alan Ludden was game show host. Mm-hmm. And Betty White would appear on that game show almost every show, which was Password. And then also, I believe he did another show prior to, I mean, before Password. I'm trying to think of the name of that show. Wasn't it one of those shows where you had to guess what the person did for a living? I think he did one of those. I can take a look at that. But mm-hmm. Password was really a popular show. And they really need to bring a lot of those shows back because they were really educational shows, you know what I mean. Al Ludden and Betty White. So anyway, the article goes on to say, she believed she would be with him again. For the first half of her career, eventually honored by Guinness World Records as the longest television career by a female entertainer, White was a regular, but not widely noticed presence on radio. There were 50 sitcoms and 1954 talk show and even a role in the 1962 film Advise and Consent. She's popped up on game shows occasionally, particularly Password, hosted by her third husband, Alan Ludden. It was a little out of character, a little unfeminine to be, you shouldn't be funny, White called in 2017 interview with CNN, reminiscing about her early days in Hollywood, noting that women at that time, or at the time, were expected to simply come in and be pretty. Mm-hmm. No, it's more fun to get that laugh. But starting with her performance as acerbic kitchen diva Sue Ann Nevins on the 1970s sitcom The Mary Tyler Moore Show, I forgot she did that, beginning with she was 51, White developed a knack mm-hmm. for portraying the apparently pure-hearted elder full of Midwest sincerity who had a randy inner life. In doing so, she created a new generation of fans, a base that only grew larger as she entered her 90s. She was the sexually experienced, if otherwise, naive Rose Nyland on The Golden Girls. White also played Flinty and sometimes violent secretary on Boston Legal. She had a guest spot on The Simpsons, hosted Saturday Night Live, the oldest person ever to do so, and even appeared in a self-mocking ad for Snickers candy bars. Remember, I was talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "I'm having the time of my life, and the fact that I'm still working, how lucky can you get?" She told the Huffington Post in 2021. Weeks away from her 100th birthday, Betty White. Wow. Any thoughts on that one?
Every time I knew she was going to be in a movie or on some program, I used to watch her because she was so funny. You know, she acted like she was a little airhead, but she was a smart cookie, you know. But she, especially on The Golden Girls, you know, she was always mm-hmm. saying things that would have everybody puzzled until they realized exactly what she was talking about. I loved Betty White. I really did. I'm going to truly, along with a lot of other people, miss her tremendously.
You know, I wasn't a big Golden Girls follower because it was, to me, it was a woman's show, you know. But I did watch quite a few episodes, I'm not going to lie, you know, because what I found interesting is how they managed to put together that ensemble, that cast of great actresses. That wasn't great because if you look at, what's her name, the one, Beatrice, right?
She went from Maude to that, Golden Girls.
And it's like her character was still the same.
Yes, it was.
She still had that same attitude from Maude to the Golden Girls character. They didn't change her that much, which you liked her as Maude. You know, which Maude was part of the group that did All in the Family and those type of shows. You know, and then you had Rue McClanahan, I think that was her name, the one who was the loose one, who slept around and everything. You know, and then there's the little old lady. I forgot who the little lady was. I liked when she had her little
That line. Was Maude's mother on the show, but she was really not a little old lady. They just had her fixed up to make her look like that.
Okay. Yeah, but she was hilarious, you know, with her little, you know, snide remarks and everything, you know. But, that's something. Betty White. And the crazy thing about it is back when I worked at Home Depot, there was this woman who come into the store. And Janet, I'm telling you, she looked like Betty White. Seriously.
She really does.
You know, no, it wasn't her, I know. But yeah, I mean, you know, the reason why I said that, because I saw her and I looked because she had the hairstyle, you know what I'm saying, the complexion and everything, a younger Betty White, you know, and from back in the password days. And I looked and I was like, and she asked me for some help and everything, and I gave her some assistance. And I couldn't help it. I just said to her, I said, you know who you remind me of? She said, who? I said, Betty White. She says, really? She says, I've been told that a couple of times. And I'm like, okay, well, this might be the third or fourth, you know. And from that point on, every time I would see her, I'd say, hey, Betty, how you doing? I don't recall what her real name is to be, but she just laughed and took it in stride. When I went over to Lowe's, she came into Lowe's, and I'd see her there, and, you know, she's like, hey, Michael, how you doing? I said, Betty, how you doing? And people would look like, damn, she does look like Betty White. And she really does. So, you know, when I see her, which I'm pretty sure I'm going to run into her again, you know, it's going to be interesting, you know, because she definitely has her voice. She definitely has her voice, too. She has the same voice tone. But, yeah. Okay, so enough with that. But seriously, condolences to the family. And as I said, it has to be really hard to lose a loved one anytime, but right in the midst of the holiday season has to be, you know, very difficult.
Right.
Very difficult, you know, for the, you know, the grandkids and the kids and everything. Our condolences to the Reed family, the Madden family, and the White family. They say they all go in pairs.
I was really surprised. I mean, it was like every day it was something different. I was like, what? I was thinking something was going to happen today. It was every day, you know?
Yeah.
Back to back.
So I wanted to also get into, and I know I ran that whole thing through really quick, and we got, you know, over an hour and 20 minutes left on the show, and I see another caller is listening from Birmingham. Hello, caller. Hit the number one if you have any questions or comments. Of course, you know, I know who you are. But anyway, last week we did a Christmas show and pretty much just played Christmas music. So Christmas is over with, right? All the stores sold out, this and that and the other. Now, most of you know, I work at Walmart. yes, I can say it. As long as I don't throw them under the bus, I can say where I work is cool. But I'm just saying in general how people are at shopping. It's so amazing. I was told, be careful. You know, be vigilant. Pay attention, you know, to the customers. Like, okay.
Mm.
I never imagined what goes on in a Walmart. You see the videos. You see, you know, the stuff, you know, folks, the crazy folks at the Walmart stores, right? And it blew me away to see that it's real. There are a lot of crazy people at Walmart. And
right.
Go crazy in shopping. And I thought after Christmas it was over with, but you know, New Year's Eve is just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, why do people wait for the last minute to shop?
Well, Michael, they might have had to work. You know, it could have been a number of reasons. I didn't go out till New Year's Eve to do some things. But we went to like 4 or 5.
I'm talking about right around closing time.
Yeah. Well, we were in one store, got in there, and they said, we'll be closing in a few minutes. But
well,
I was able to pick up a few things.
Well, I know in the past, stores like Walmart and a few of them would be open sometimes on the holidays or open up later on, you know, like on Thanksgiving. Remember Walmart used to open up later on Thanksgiving night. They stopped doing that, you know, because of COVID. But a friend of mine said something I found interesting is that, remember, Michael, it's the first of the month. Some people got that check. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So some folks are shopping, you know, spending that monthly check, the ones who get one, right? I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I understand that to a certain extent. But I just don't understand last-minute shopping for food, stuff like that, if you're planning an event. I guess as I get older, I'm starting to understand that you should plan ahead and try to get things, you know, get what you need. If you have the money, get it then.
I had plenty of food at the house and in the freezers, but it was certain things that I wanted that I had to go out mm-hmm. and get. You know, because you had that special dinner for New Year's. And after getting mm-hmm. everything, I thought I had black eyed peas till I got home this morning. And this morning, I started to cook black eyed peas, ended up cooking pinto beans because I had none. So, you know, okay. And then if it was a store open, I think I would have been there trying to get some black eyed peas.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, so last minute.
But now, what is the old saying that you have to have black eyed peas and what, collard greens?
Some people say hog maws or chitlins, and because I normally make Hop and John's.
But just refresh everybody's memory. Why should you have these two dishes on New Year's?
It's supposed to be wealth and prosperity or something, right?
Okay. Wealth and prosperity. Okay.
I don't know. What do you think? Let me look it up.
I think that's pretty much what it was, but I think there was a little bit more to more detail of why those two things, what each one meant.
Mm.
One might have meant wealth, one might have meant prosperity. I forgot what it was.
I'm looking it up.
Okay.
And collards for New Year's. Hopefully it'll let me know. Okay. Black eyed peas and collards are traditionally eating on New Year's Day across the South to symbolize luck and money for the forthcoming year. So, yeah, wealth, prosperity, money, yeah. So yeah, they said, like so many of my favorite Southern foods, they came out of an African diaspora. Yeah. So, but I know ever since I was a kid, we had to have the black eyed peas, the collard greens, and hog maws or chitlins or, you know, candy yams, potato salad. That's your New Year's dinner.
Hmm. Yeah, when I was a kid, yeah, we had the same thing. That was traditional, as you said. That was just what you did. You didn't have the turkey because you got enough of that after Thanksgiving. But you definitely have the chitlins. And still, and again, I find it interesting because where I work at, they were out of chitlins before Thanksgiving. People were coming in and looking for chitlins. I mean, out of it. And still, I'll ask the question, and chitlins are not expensive, per se. You know, you can get a the last I saw it was, what, a 10-pound bucket for, like, what, $7-$8, right?
But nobody hardly buy buckets. They buy the pre-cleaned ones.
Okay.
Where, yeah, so it costs a lot more. And they only come in 5 pounds. But by the time you thaw them out and clean them, you're only getting a smidgen. So, you know, you might get 6 pounds out of 20 pounds. Huh?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that from what I was told back when you used to be able to get the 10-pound bucket, once you clean them, you had 5 pounds. Okay, this goes back to my mom's days. That's how she would buy 40 pounds. And you might have 20 and some change, right? You know, once you clean them. And these were not pre-cleaned. But when you look at the history of chitlins, these were throwaways.
Used to be, right.
I'm saying, yeah.
Same with neck bones, chicken wings, things like that that were cheap back in the day. Now they cost more than chicken breasts. Wings cost more than breasts.
Some cost more than steak.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just boggles the mind. I'm like, wow, why is the price of this so high? And it's not
I bought a small pack of smoked neck bones, and it was almost $7. And it wasn't a big pack, you know. But it don't take that much when you want some smoked meat and beans or in your greens, you know. So, but I like that taste. So you don't think about the cost.
So you spent $7 for basically a seasoning. I mean, you can eat it, of course, but it's basically seasoning. And I'm sure you would not go to the seasoning aisle and pay $7 a small bottle of a certain type of salt or pepper.
I beg to differ. I would.
I
collect spices and seasons and, herbs. I have a large collection of different spices and herbs.
Now, some spices do expire, though.
I use them. So it's not like I'm just looking at it. I cook a lot of different food. So that's why I have several different types of oils, like sesame, avocado. I got the ghee, I guess they call it ghee, the clarified butter, and then regular olive oil, canola oil. I
can see oils lasting a while,
but I'm the same with the different spices. I don't like to use a lot of spice with salt and stuff in it because I like to do my own thing with kosher salt, you know. So I like cooking, so I buy all these different spices.
Well, you're an exception I can't say the rule, but you're an exception to a lot of people because there's a lot of I know I've looked online. There's a lot of recipes that require you get certain spices. And you can only put them in certain quantities, but you're only going to use a small portion of it, you follow me? And it's like, so what do I do with the rest of it? You know what I mean?
But
I don't know the rest of it.
But you can use it in something else. It's just like I make my own rub. So I might use 5 or 6 different things that I put together for a rub. It depends whether it's for pork or beef or chicken. But, you know, I'd like to have things on hand so I don't have to run out to the store to get something. And if I see something new, I pick it up. Huh?
That's good advice. Have it on hand so you don't have to go look for it. Okay.
It's like
what
pantry.
Yeah. Okay, right. With spices and stuff, it's good to have it on hand. But like I said, there are some spices that will expire, lose their, I guess, their fragrance. You know, if you don't seal it, I guess, it's left unopened or unsealed, it can lose its potency is what I'm looking for. Becomes more blue. Some do. Is that correct?
Well, you know, like with oregano or rosemary, certain spices, when you take it out, and it's dried. So you rub it, you know, together before you use it. And I guess that helps. I don't know, but I've just been doing it for years. Yeah.
Well, it kind of activated again. Okay. I'm kind of doing it. Yeah. You know, because I know I've had some spices. There's this little cheaper brand that you can get in the stores. It's not name brand like McCormick or whatever. And it's a cheaper brand you can get at various stores. I noticed that after a while, it just has a different taste to it, in a sense. Still, like, you know, like a lemon pepper. Still has a lemon pepper taste, but it has like an aftertaste if it's been sitting a while.
It's just
and then
like
you got some
peppers.
Black pepper. Yeah, and you got some spices that will clunk up, you know, clog up, you know what I'm saying, harden, I guess.
Those are the ones that
like
have sugar in it, like brown sugar, a lot of times.
Right. Yeah, okay. I can agree with that. That sounds right. Me, when it comes to pepper, I don't buy the pre-ground pepper. I have a pepper grinder. And I get the whole pepper because it's still a pepper. You know what I'm saying? It's still a seed. And so I'd rather crack it in the pepper grinder. And that's where you're getting it fresh. You know, I like that. And you don't have to use a lot. So I've started doing that. And wow, we're getting into food and stuff. But okay,
I know.
Thank you for sharing.
One more thing about pepper. Like you say, a pepper in the pepper grinder, the black pepper. But that, to me, is more pungent. So I like using a red pepper or a white pepper for the hotness, but not to actually change the taste of the food.
Right. I mean, it depends on what you're cooking, true enough, what kind of dish that you're making. But I do like, as I said, I like the peppercorns because I don't have to put it in my own. You know, if you give somebody who's not used to using a pepper grinder and they're used to just that little tin box that you pop open and it's already ground and they just shake tons of it. You've seen folks do that, right? You give them a grinder, they're going to look at it where it don't look like enough. See what I mean? Some folks look at seasoning on look but not on taste or, you know, you follow what I'm saying is that where it just don't look like I have enough pepper on it. It don't look like I have enough salt on it. If you give someone sea salt compared to iodized salt, you know, they're large grains, they'll sprinkle more of the sea salt on because it don't look like it's enough on their food. But actually, it's more pungent, as you just said.
I think the people who use regular table salt usually have a tendency to sprinkle more because it's finer. But when I use kosher salt or sea salt or Himalayan salt, it's pink salt. It's coarse. So you just sprinkle with your fingers. Yeah. You just sprinkle a little bit in your food instead of shaking. Yeah.
Right. Right. That's true. Interesting. Interesting how we got on the topic of food. So,
I can talk about food all night.
I know. I can too because I love to cook myself. I've tried, like I said, a lot of different recipes. And then again, when it comes to eating healthy, as I mentioned, there's people that are friends of mine that don't eat pork, don't eat beef, none of that, you know, and everything. And, you know, I respect them for their choosing. They respect me for choosing that. Now, you do have some folks who will try to tell you, you need to stop eating, you know, meat. You need to stop eating this. You need to stop eating that. To be honest, it's like, well, it was put here for us to eat. A lot of it was put here for us to eat. I mean, because this may sound stupid, but if that's the case, try going to Africa and tell a lion to stop eating impala. They got to eat. Right? I mean, seriously.
Right. They want meat. They don't want grass and leaves.
Right. They're not going to eat beans. They're not going to eat soy. That is them. That's in their DNA automatically to eat meat. I've seen videos of these guys in other countries, in Arabia and Dubai and everything, and they have lions for pets. And granted, the lion is in the cat family or the feline family, but these are unpredictable animals. I've seen videos, and I've been watching the folks who have these places where they take lions who used to be in zoos and circuses and everything and try to give them a life, you know, without having to be all that. But they have to still be cautious. Even though the lion comes over and hugs him and everything, if you don't feed that lion on time every day, you might look like a morsel to him, right?
You know, speaking of lions, Michael, this is not a lion. It's a tiger that was in California. This guy who was supposed to be cleaning had no business being in the area where the tigers were or any of the animals. He went in and called himself petting on the, I guess, tiger. The tiger bit him and wouldn't let go, and the police had to shoot and kill the tiger.
Right.
Now this guy is facing charges. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Well,
this just happened
you know what? He should, to be honest. I think he should because, see, the tiger don't know any better. But he did.
Yeah, they were trying to figure out how he got in there.
Because
he was in an area he shouldn't have been in.
I'm sure he could read. I believe he could read. I'm sure they have signs. See, that's what I'm saying. Unfortunately, the tiger had to be destroyed because of the ignorance of an individual. The tiger had to be destroyed because of the ignorance of an individual. That's an interesting story. Because he... Also, as I just said, lions and tigers are part of the cat family. If you are a cat owner and look at the curiosity of a cat and what a cat does, I told you that, you know, there was a cat at my house and the things it would hunt. And I know friends of mine who said the same thing that have cats. That they hunt a bird or whatever and bring it right back to the house. They don't kill it and leave it there. They bring it home. It's like a trophy to them. They don't eat them. But lions and tigers, they don't eat what they kill.
So Michael, I made a mistake. I made a mistake. It was Florida, not California. This happened two days ago. Huh?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay, so it happened in Florida. And so the guy lived. He is facing charges for him. Actually, I guess, did he work there? He worked there, right?
No, he was clean. One of the people who did clean was cleaning, not, you know. Yeah, it wasn't one of the people, trainers or,
Right. So,
he had nothing to do with the animals.
So he broke company policy because obviously he was in an area he was not supposed to be in. I'm pretty sure they told him when he was hired, you are not allowed beyond this point.
And there was a lot of signs around.
Because even on my job, there's a room that only managers and the people that work in that certain department can be in. There's a sign that says only these employees and these, and you know, can enter this room. Anybody mm-hmm. else go in that room or step in that room, you're breaking the rule. So, yeah, I can see him being charged because here's the thing. Due to his ignorance and not following policy, they had to destroy and
That's
kill
right.
an animal that had no choice but to do. And it doesn't mean that the animal was trying to kill him to eat him. But he didn't know him, right?
But it wasn't that he was just walking and the animal decided to attack him. He stuck his arm in the enclosure where the tiger was, and the tiger latched onto him, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, all that could have been avoided if he hadn't have been in that area, because that was not an area he was supposed to be in to clean anyway.
But that could have,
yeah.
you know, and right, and the tiger could have looked at that as a threat because, keep in mind, I just said, that tiger don't know who he is. Tigers
mm-hmm.
and lions have good sense of memory. Like I said, I've watched a lot of videos of what's a trip of where people who have brought up tiger cubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were cubs and everything. And then they, you know, are parted. And I saw this one video where this lion, huge lion, they let him out this enclosure, and his previous owner, who's had him ever since he was a cub, is standing in the enclosure. And the lion runs out. He doesn't see him. He runs out, and the guy makes a certain sound and yell. And that lion, you know, just slides. I mean, he tries to stop because he's running past him. He falls on his side and hops up and runs straight at him. At his previous owner, and just he doesn't attack him. He puts his paw around his neck, and he just leans up against
yeah.
him. You know,
yeah. it's like
he
a
big
cat kitten.
Mm-hmm. But as I said, here is the guy who this lion don't know, putting his hand in there. That could be perceived by the lion as if
mm-hmm.
I don't know you. And I was reading an article of where if a lion is preparing to attack you, there's two key things to look at: their eyes and their ears. Their ears
mm-hmm.
go back. If their ears go back and their eyes start to kind of like dilate, cancel Christmas. You about to be.
And what makes it so bad, this tiger was the only tiger at the zoo. You know,
yeah,
so I can't wait to see what's going to happen, you know,
mm-hmm.
to this guy who was in the hospital.
Well, they're going to find him guilty of negligence, of first of all, because he was forewarned. Again, you cannot tell the tiger, hey, look, if a stranger comes around your territory, you could tell it to the tiger, but he's going to look at you like, what the hell, huh? I don't understand English. You know what I'm saying?
I have stray cats in my yard that I feed. It's two. But I don't bother them. I just make sure they get water and food. Then I holler, here, kitty. I come in, shut the door, and maybe 5 minutes later, they'll come along and eat. So I
okay.
never see, I don't see them because they're lurking. I know they're hiding. But they do come and eat, and I put the food in an area where I can just watch them while they're
mm-hmm.
eating, you know. But
right.
I just can't see how people throw animals away and discard them, you know. That to me, that's crazy. If you don't want it, take it to the Humane Society or something. Don't just move away and leave.
Here's the thing. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's the thing. People do that. Because they don't want to be responsible. See, I know for a fact, I've known someone who had a cat, and they didn't know what they were getting into. Having an animal is just like having a child. Okay?
That's right.
Having an animal is like having a child forever until that animal dies. That animal is depending on you to feed feed it and take care of it. Dog, cat, it doesn't matter. Iguana, you know, folks got all kinds of exotic pets. I think you remember there was that story about the guy in New York who had a tiger in his apartment.
Yes.
In his apartment. And he couldn't, you know, in fact, there was another guy who one day they noticed he hadn't been coming to work, and they went to go check on him to see what's going on. Hell, he had not iguanas. What is the big lizards? They're not iguanas, the big ones.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Large lizards. He used to feed them chickens, according to the story that I read. And they did a little video on it and everything. And if they bite you, it's a poisonous bite in a sense. It gets into your bloodstream. And they, you know, noticed he hadn't come to work and went there. Them damn things damn near ate him to, I mean, ate all of him. They ate, you know, because they said that he would feed them chickens, and then he had maybe the juices on his hands or whatever. They feel like that's food. Kind of sad that folks do that. But animals are going to do what animals do. So going back to, like I said, when folks say, well, you shouldn't eat this, you shouldn't eat, you know, eat. Animals eat meat. You know, all kinds do. And I'm not saying, you know, you should, but downgrade people who do.
Right.
The animals only know what their instincts is. They don't have the opportunity, or I'm sorry, they don't have the intelligence as man does. As you just said about the guy there, he knew better to not go into or not reach into that enclosure. It doesn't matter. It says do not reach in this cage. Don't come too close, you know. I'm sure there's all kinds of warnings to save your life. But the thing is, the warnings that they posted to save his life, he neglected to follow, turn around and got snatched by a lion, and then they had to turn around and kill the lion. So, yes, he should be charged. Because that wouldn't have happened if he would have followed the rules. You know, I watch a right. lot of these videos lately, and I watch these hunters on Facebook Live. I see a lot of these guys that go out and hunt. And I want to ask you a question, and I know we're kind of like changing topics, but it's interesting because when you're talking about animals and hunting, I see these guys go out here and they shoot, you know, coyotes, deer, and everything. And I don't know anybody who eat coyote, but they say they kill them because the coyotes are killing their stock. Okay. They're a predator. All right. They're cows and whatever. But I look at some of these guys that go hunting, trophy hunting. Remember the story we talked about it before in the show about the guy who went and killed this majestic lion, which people, you know, revered and honored. You know, he was like a god, you know, in this village. Now, they could have killed that lion if they wanted to, but they didn't. But here comes a guy, you know, this world-renowned hunter, and he kills this rare lion. And I need to do some research on was he charged for that, because that was a lion they didn't want anyone to touch. He was supposed to be protected. Supposed to be protected. And my question is, I'm sorry, my throat is getting scratchy, but how do you feel about hunting? I mean, I feel like if you're hunting for food, you're going to kill a deer, and you're going to have the meat processed, and you're going to put the head on your mantle or whatever. Okay, that's your trophy. But at least you're hunting for a reason, for food, right? But if you're just hunting for the head of an animal, and not doing anything with the meat. Who eats lion meat or tiger meat? I don't know.
Well, I think they probably do maybe over in the country where, but I feel the same way. If I can't stand to see somebody killing an animal just for the hide or, you know, but if you're eating, you're getting the food for survival, the meat to, you know, for, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
But just to,
for the
just to take
whatever,
the, just to take the fur and you leave the carcass, I think that's crazy. Or to kill an elephant just for the ivory, the tusk.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah, that bothers me. When I look at these videos, and I was telling someone, they called me one night, and they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm watching this video. And they said, well, why are you watching that type of stuff? I said, because it makes you see something that, whether you like it or dislike it, it exists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at some of these guys, and they're just so hyped and they're just so excited. But there's one guy I watch, his family, and he tells you, this is what we do, you know, instead of we grow our own, you know, we raise our own cattle and everything. And I'd rather know where my meat is coming from than from a store. Now, I get that. He's growing it or he's raising it for a purpose, to feed his family.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going out to kill something for a trophy, you know, and that's what bothers me, people who just go out to kill animals for a trophy, especially rare animals or rare species of animals, to say I have.
Was that lion, the lion that you were talking about, was that Cecil? Was that over in Africa, Zimbabwe?
I believe that sounds right. Yep. Cecil the
lion.
Yeah,
I don't think they charged the guy, the big game hunter, for hurting him.
For killing him.
Mm. Killing him, yeah.
Mm.
Right.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Because I was reading the article, yeah, and they said the killing resulted in international media attention because they had been studying this lion for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on a reserve, and he was lured off on purpose. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the story, yep. On purpose. They baited him. They baited
mm-hmm.
him to come off the reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, there's a term, and I'm trying to think of it, but there's a term that people would use, you know, try to bait you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, you can't talk to a lion and a lion can't talk back to you. So if you're putting bait out there to pull him off a reserve, he don't know what is, you know, what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the guy should have been charged. Something. You just said they baited
yeah,
him off
think...
the reserve. So they
yeah.
lured him.
Right. They arrested him, but then they dropped the charges, you know. But I think they should have, the charge, I think, should have stuck because it wasn't like the lion was trying to attack him or, you know.
Exactly.
He did that on purpose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, money talks, probably what happened, that
mm-hmm.
they waved some money in front of him and said, hey, look, you're okay. It's just the lion. All right. Y'all get another one. Another one will come along. Here, we'll pay you this and just let it go away. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's possible. I'm just speculating, but like Charles Barkley says, I may be wrong, but I doubt it. That's
yeah.
what had occurred. Okay. Because obviously, if he can go lion hunting, he's got money.
Mm-hmm.
Money talks. You know, so. That's really sad. I brought that up because, in fact, let me ask you a question. Do you fish?
Yes.
Okay. How many fish you think you caught in your lifetime? roughly?
Golly, Mike, maybe in a lifetime, maybe about 200.
Wrong.
You said wrong?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm serious.
I know you are.
I fished a lot when I was in New York State because I was around the Great Lakes, and I was right there near Lake Ontario and the Thousand Islands, so mm-hmm. and all these creeks, so it was easy to go fishing for some of everything, you know, close to Canada.
But I'm going to tell you something, and this is so funny, and I hope you get the joke, but there's a reality to it. You've never caught a fish in your life. I've never caught a fish in my life. Think about it. You didn't go out there in that water and grab that fish. What you did, you lured that fish. That fish was dumb enough to take the bait. The fish caught itself. Think about it.
Okay, Mike.
No, but it's, if you really think about it, an old gentleman, God bless his soul, Mr. Walter Hill told me this years ago when we were going fishing. He asked me that same question. How many fish you ever caught? And I was saying, oh, I've been fishing a lot. I've caught a lot of fish. He said, you ain't never caught a fish in your life. And I looked at him like, what the hell are you talking about? He said, nope, you ain't never caught a fish. He said, you just like I just said, you baited him, and he was dumb enough to take the bait. That's true.
Well, I baited and caught 200.
Okay. It may sound crazy, but if you really think about it, that is very true. And I laughed my ass off. But when I thought about it, I said, Mr. Walter is right. I never caught him. I baited him.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Okay,
I'm
going to mess with you on that one.
Wow.
Hello?
I'm not about that.
Mm-hmm. You put the bait on the hook, you throw it out there, and what do? You sit and wait for that fish to be dumb enough to not know that you on the end of the end.
You know, Georgia got fishing holes where you go and pay a certain amount, and then you go in and you can catch buckets of fish, you know, bait and lure buckets of fish.
And then they clean it for you,
and you just bring them home and put them in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But me, it's not the same as actually fishing.
Right. There's something about getting out there and doing it yourself. I mean, I've seen, as I said, I've watched a lot of animal shows and boarding shows, and I don't think that everything is considered a sport. You know, a lot of the tactics that they use, I don't think it's really a sport because, of course, the animal really is at a disadvantage in many cases, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and don't get me wrong, I don't knock folks. I mean, hunters, per se, I really don't. It's just what do you do with your kill is what my question is. I see these guys who hunt elk and this and that and the other. Do you eat the meat? Who hunt rare animals? And every time they kill one and they go find it, you know, they're like, look at the horns on him. Look at it. I never hear them say anything about, you know, the fact that they're going to use the meat to, you know, for their families or anything.
A lot of people that I know that hunt, they actually eat the venison or the wild boar
If it's wild boar. Now, you got, in fact, since we're on that topic, you know, Texas has a major feral pig problem. in the thousands. Mm. And I watched a video of where, you know, the feral pig was brought here from another country. And their population just grows and grows and grows. And where they're constantly...
Is that the thing that looks like a rat? A big rat?
No. No. These are pigs, but they're called feral pigs. They're called feral pigs. And in Texas, there's just a population of them in the thousands. I saw a video where a guy said, oh, last year we killed about maybe 1,900 of them. I'm like, that's damn near 2,000 pigs you killed in 1 year?
Mm.
And then they're killing, I mean, they have to constantly kill them because they, you know, their populations keep growing and growing and growing. And it's not just in Texas. There's other states that are having problems of these wild feral hogs or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
You know, I can understand that. Florida is having a problem now with iguanas. So now they're hunting iguanas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a friend of mine was on vacation in Florida and put a video on Facebook of where they're at the pool chilling and a couple of iguanas just run by. You know, it's like they're almost everywhere. You know, I can understand bringing down the population of animals that are, you know, you have to control them, right? But
right.
The killing of animals that are almost extinct,
no,
I don't agree with.
I don't agree with that either.
For a trophy. I don't. So, I guess that's why this year when I saw so many hams at the grocery store, it's because there's so many pigs available. But, you know, that's another story.
Well, I don't think it's those pigs, though, Michael, that they're selling at the store because the wild, you're not going to find that at the store.
Yeah, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
No. But don't be surprised if you start seeing those pigs in the grocery stores. Don't be surprised.
What about the thing that looks like a rat? What's the name of it? That's real big. It's down by Louisiana or somewhere around there. It's a member of the rat family. It looks like a huge gopher, but it's
I know what you're talking about, right? What is the name of those
things?
They
run rampant in there, trying to kill them off.
Right. And their populations are growing. So don't be surprised if you see them in your grocery store sometime soon or at some butcher shop. You know, I'm serious. Don't be surprised. You know, it'll have this odd name on it and be like, and then the seller will be like, it's a different breed of a pig. Yeah, pig. You know, that ain't no damn pig. I ain't never seen no pig meat look like that. You know, so don't be surprised. But so what do you look forward to in 2022?
Good health and I'm just trying to stay healthy and not get COVID. You know, I haven't really thought too much ahead far as a New Year's resolution yet, but I guess I need to think about it. But I just want to be healthy and not have to be, you know, get where I'm in the hospital or anything. So I've been real careful as far as wearing my mask and trying to use sanitizer and do all the right things. Because if I do get something, I'm praying it's mild and not anything that's going to take me out.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
What are you doing for the new year?
You know, I mean, the same thing with you as far as trying to stay healthy as much as possible. Being more diligent about things, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Really, instead of procrastinating, you know, because sometimes it's not intentional, But you can be distracted by other things, and it'll take your eye off the prize, you know what I'm saying, or the direction mm-hmm. you're going into or what you're trying to accomplish. And sometimes right. some people will be that factor that will, you know, draw your attention in another direction, and you get caught up, and it's just like when you put something down, it's like, well, where did I leave that? And it's right there in front of you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To not get distracted and stay focused, you know, on what's important and what you're trying to accomplish. That's what I'm looking at. I saw a video, again, I've watched a lot of stuff. I saw a video of this guy who is dyslexic, and he's a parking attendant at a mm-hmm. parking place in this little green booth. This guy makes $12 an hour, but he's worth $500,000.
Hmm.
How is that possible? Because
how's
he happens
worth $500,000?
Huh?
How's he worth $500,000?
Okay, I was about to tell you. Because he works at a parking booth right smack dab in the financial area of New York. And the people who park there are individuals who are, you know, deal with Wall Street. And he'd ask questions and this, that, and the other. And I watched the whole video of how, you know, he was only making
well,
this,
give
that,
him
and
tips.
Give him tips on what to invest into. And he, you know, kind of researched on it and started investing into, like, Coca-Cola and this, that, and the other. And he started off with, you know, buying a few stocks and this, that, and the other with his money. He would, when instead of letting his kids go to public school, they went to a Christian academy. He managed to save the money up for his three kids to go there. And one of his sons says, I remember I asked my dad for money for lunch. And he said, lunch was 80 cents. Then my dad gave me a dollar. And he said, and as I was going out the door, he said, bring me back my change. He wanted his 20 cents back. And the guy, I mean, they said to this day, this guy is worth over $500,000. Well, he has over $500,000 and still works at that booth.
Mm.
He still works there, lives in the same house paid for. And he's passing it on not just to his kids, but he's passing on his knowledge to church members. And they interviewed one, and she says, yeah, my portfolio looks great thanks to his advice.
Hmm.
I found that such an interesting story. I was like, wow, a man who is at a parking booth, he's got $500,000, only making $12 a month because he invested.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. Even if you buy penny stock, you have to start out small. It's better than mm-hmm. not starting out at all, you know?
Yep. And then if you look, and for the people who may be listening, if you look, if you have Cash App, you know, and be careful with any kind of app, you have Chime, Cash App, or any of those, be careful. Put all protections you can on those apps or any app, per se, because now, I mean, a lot of things are vulnerable. I think you guys seen or heard with the Facebook thing, you know, how they became vulnerable and a lot of folks' information was put out there. Be very cautious. Even Google had an issue. But Cash App even has where you can start buying stocks, you know, at very low amounts. Very low amounts. If you're going to take money and gamble in Las Vegas, take a gamble in something that there's more of a possibility than probably a much less possibility of you having an instant win, per se. You know what I'm saying? You pulling
mm-hmm.
that one-arm bandit, throwing in quarters and pulling that one-arm bandit, saying, come to Papa. Okay, that money's gone in a matter of minutes. But if you take some money and invest in something that can grow, and not necessarily for yourself, but if it can grow and if you can get the – because what this guy did, he didn't draw the dividends. He reinvested into the company. He took that chance and kept reinvesting. And the stocks kept going up. And you can do your research. A lot of folks, stock market is such a gamble. You don't have to always put into the stock market, per se. But try something other than, you know, a wishful win at a casino or a scratch-off or the Georgia lottery or whatever state you're in. Because your odds with that is slim to none. I mean, when you look at your odds of winning a lottery is 1 to $50,000, I mean, 50,000 people or more.
Mm-hmm.
Or a million folks, depending on what game you're playing. You might as well write that one off. They come
wow.
very few in between. You know. I mean, that's just
my opinion. Did you toast the new year in?
Yes, I did.
What did you do?
I actually stayed in the house. I didn't go anywhere. I, you know, and again, I keep saying as I get older, I get a little wiser. You know, back in the day when I was a kid, or I won't say a kid, but a teenager, I would have been at almost two or three nightclubs. I would have went to one nightclub and brought in the New Year, then went across town to another one and partied there. You know, I used to party New Year's Eve. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, wait a minute, they shooting out there. You know, when we call a tone back, I remember, and I was sharing the story with somebody else. I recall a time that a friend of mine I grew up with, Chuck Bratton, there was a house party not too far from where we lived, and there was an elementary school pretty much next door to the house. And New Year's had just struck. We didn't get to a location in time to, you know, to be with the revelers and everything. And some folks were parking in the parking lot of the elementary school, so we parked there. We got out the car, and you hear the fireworks going off and this and the other. And as we got out the car, all of a sudden, I heard this. I'm like, what the hell is that? Something's hitting the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like booze. Well, that's buckshot, because as I say, what goes up must what? Come down.
Come down.
And I'm serious. It was... maybe, I don't know, estimated maybe about 5 or 6 feet away, I heard it. And I turned to Chuck. I said, man, what, did you hear that? He said, yeah, we heard our ass into the house where the party was. See, you could be anywhere and be a statistic. Unfortunately, if you guys remember the story of the little boy who was in church and a bullet came through the roof and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one New Year's. I remember a lot of New Year's Eve parties, and I don't want to share them all. They're really crazy, you know. And I'm thankful I lived through quite a few incidents. But as I've gotten older, I realize that being out there in the streets is not the best thing. I've spent many New Year's Eves in church, you know, bringing in the New Year's. But most of the time, mm-hmm. I try to be home at least an hour before the stroke of midnight. I know some police stations tell their officers in certain states that just before stroke of midnight, don't be driving up and down those streets. Get underneath the underpass and park. Because if you want to take out an officer, that's the prime time. You hear
right.
so much going on, you don't know the difference between a gunshot and a firework. You know, don't be parked in front of a donut shop. I remember, I'm going to quickly share this story, when I lived in Birmingham. Granted, Birmingham is an hour difference from Atlanta. When it hits midnight in Atlanta, it's 11 o'clock in Birmingham, Central Time. I remember when it hit midnight in Atlanta, I'm in Birmingham. Them Negroes in Birmingham started shooting when it hit midnight in Atlanta. I'm like, okay, you guys are hour ahead, all right? And I'm talking about, like, the next-door neighbor type shooting. Like, you hear boom. I'm like, what the hell? It wasn't a firework. You hear, bada, 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 pop, pop, pop. I said, okay. I stayed in the house. When midnight hit in Birmingham, boom, bada, 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 bada. I said, okay, they've been shooting for 2 hours. Finally, it let down, right? So I'm watching TV, and I'm like, okay, they're about to hit midnight in California. Let me see what's going on, because you know how the host go. We're going to go to Los Angeles, where they're about to bring in the new year. Keep in mind, it's 3 a.m. In Atlanta, when it's 12 a.m., about to hit 12 a.m. in California, and it's, what, 2 a.m. in Alabama. As soon as it hit midnight in California, boom, they're shooting in Alabama again. I said, what the hell? Y'all going to shoot all night long? And basically, that's what they did. Mm-hmm. So that's how come I try to just stay indoors. I think as the years go by, that will be the safest thing to do. It's not to be out there in those streets, unless you're going to a private party or something, but a club or anything like that. I've outgrown that, and I know that it's not that safe. But back to answering your question, yeah, I brought it in the year staying safe and staying at home. Because to me, it's just another day, but I thank God I've seen another year. That's about it.
Wow.
And yourself?
What do you mean? About staying home?
New Year's? Yeah, what did you do New Year's Eve? Did you bring in a... I know a lot of friends of mine told me that they fell asleep. My sister even said her and her daughter was knocked out. They didn't even see the stroke of midnight.
I was crocheting.
Okay.
And I went shopping and everything with my friend. And so we picked up a lot of things. We went to at least 4 or 5 stores. And then I came home and I had a glass of wine and started crocheting and watched a little bit of TV and fell asleep. So I didn't see the new year come in either.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. That's cool. You know, you were awake, right? But you weren't out and about. Mm-hmm. You know, and this and that.
Right.
Hey, look, what we're going to do real quick, I want to go ahead and throw this out here because the time is now 7:38 p.m. on the East Coast. I've been telling people that what I'm going to do is start playing some instrumentals. And remember, you say, well, I may not know those songs or anything. But what I want to do is keep playing some instrumentals. You know, back in the day, we used to go to house parties. I don't know about all of you, but we used to go to house parties. And there were songs that were played, no vocals, no singing. But we would dance our ass off to every beat of it. Used to go to the DJ, put that on, put that song on, you know. So what I'm doing each week, and I wanted to do it today, but I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to keep giving little tips and everything, but I'm going to play this song of the day, of this Saturday, and I want you guys to guess who is the artist and the name of the song. And we're going to give you a gift. Yes, we're going to send you a gift, courtesy of the TNGS, if you can get all of them right. So here what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you this song, and I might give you a little sample of the other ones already played. Each week, I'm going to play one of those hit instrumentals that we used to party to. So real quick, let's go ahead and take a music break and let you check this one out. You know, I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you a sample of, I'm going to give a sample of each song, just a little bit. But here's the newest one. And so you guys hold tight. You're listening to the Michael Gay Show, TMGS, here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. going to cut that one short, but there was a little sample of that one there. All right, so that's the song of the week. I played that a little longer than I expected to. All right, so now I'm going to give you another one. Okay, this one out. All instrumental. Another one, okay, that should be really easy for most of you, but I have to know the artist and the title of the song. I'm going to go ahead and play another one that we played, okay, and going to give you a little bits and pieces of each one, and we're going to probably add one or two more before we ask for the winner. Here's another one. Funky jam right there from back in the day. All right. So I'm wondering if you guys are kind of like getting it right. Are you guessing right? Are you guessing right? Do you know the titles? Do you know the artists? Huh? Okay. So I'm going to make this one a lot easier. Okay. Just giving you some samples. Hopefully you can win the prize coming up. But I'm going to make this one real easy for you and see if you remember this, the artist and the name of the track. We'll be right back. All right, they spelled it out for you. They spelled it out for you. You should know who that is. What's the name of the artist and the name of the track? And here's the last one. And this is the full listing here, you guys. Here's the last one. Do you remember these instrumental jams? TMDS, the Michael Gay Show on this New Year's Day. Thank you for tuning in. Hey, I'm not going to tell you who these artists are, but Janet, have you heard some of those tracks before? I'm pretty sure you've heard a few of them, but I'm going to give you a little hint on the last one. the name of the group, actually part of the name of the group, is the first name of the individual who started the group. That's a big hint. All right. Okay. Janet, you there? Hello? Okay, I see she's still on the board. All right, so I'm going to add one more song to the listing.
What year were you pulling music from?
I was pulling music from the 70s and the 80s.
Okay.
Late 70s and 80s. Late 70s and 80s. Like I said, it's the house party instrumentals that I recall going to. Nothing from the 90s, nothing from 2000. This is the late 70s and the early 80s. Keep that in mind. It's the instrumentals, and I need to know the name of the songs and the name of the artist. And the winner, whoever gets the most, I mean, if you get them all, you win. If you get more than others, you still win. So it's a win-win situation. But do your research on it. I'm going to do it again next week. Add one more song to the list and just do your research on them. Now, some of you guys have, what is it called, SoundHound. And don't cheat. But, I mean, if you want to use SoundHound, that's cool. If it picks up, go ahead. But you got to give a little bit more information about the artist than just saying their name and the name of the song. What do you know about them? But thought it would be fun. The last track, as I said, last hint, the name of the group, the actual name of the group is really part of the name of the group, is the first name of the creator of the group. Think about it. All right? Okay, so we're about to get out of here. The time is 7:54 p.m. Eastern time. You know, they were saying that Georgia was going to get some more major storms. Last couple of nights have been really crazy here. There's been some tornado warnings and everything. So for folks who are in other states who are having snow, the snow is hitting. It's just been some odd weather everywhere around the United States. So be safe and be careful, all right? Especially coming into the new year. Be safe. Be careful. Speaking of rain, it just started, just as I said that. I'm serious. It just started raining.
I bet.
Supposed to be have some thunderstorms. Cobb County up there by the Big Chicken Smyrna area had tornado warning last night. Hopefully it's not going to be that severe, but they said that be prepared for the rest of the weekend.
Do you remember the year the Big Chicken was torn down from a tornado?
Yeah. For you guys who don't know, and you can Google this, you're probably wondering, what the hell is the Big Chicken? It's a Colonel Sanders Kentucky Fried Chicken joint, one of the biggest in the world locations. And excuse me, it was it had this the roof was actually a big chicken head type thing. The structure of the building was built like that. And if I remember correct, it was actually made of aluminum. And maybe that's right. I'm not sure. I have to look at it. But I think the pieces were made of aluminum, and when the tornado struck it, it destroyed that part of it. But they were able to gather a lot of those pieces, and they sold them, and it raised money to build the new structure, which is pretty much like the old one, just out of different material. The old one was just stood there, you know, just there, this big chicken head. You know, when I say big, it's huge. It's how tall was Janet? Maybe about 30 feet high, about 35 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, yeah, somewhere around 20.
They use it as a landmark for Marietta. They use it as a landmark. Because I know when I first moved over into the north part, they were saying, just right when you get to the Big Chicken, turn right or whatever. And for the life of me, couldn't figure out where the Big Chicken was until I was at the light one day and happened to look up. And then I knew what the Big Chicken was.
Right. When I first moved here, everybody would say the same thing, the big chicken or the big bull. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the big bull was, and I know some of you folks are listening, probably, what the hell are they talking about? But as you say, there's landmarks. People wouldn't tell you the street. They tell you what to look for, something that is becoming like. Mm-hmm. And the big chicken was the Colonel Sanders that had this one-of-a-kind type rook, chicken head. And so they say, well, when you get to the big chicken, well, what the hell is a big chicken? When you get to the big bull, what the hell is a big bull? The big bull was at the corner of 41 and Windy Hill. So, and it was this little building that had this giant bull on top of it, you know, so I was like, okay. So, yeah, landmarks, very interesting, very interesting. The history of certain places. Mm-hmm. Hey, you guys, we're going to have to get on out of here. Thank you so much for tuning in, Janet. Thank you so much. Happy New Year's to you, or New Year's Day.
Happy New Year's to you tonight.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to much more fun here on the show as we go into the new year. So you guys, stay tuned, all right? We got 60 seconds, and we're going to get out of here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless. Happy 2022. Good night.
Good night.